Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit, we trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. In this section, I am talking to Professor Buyiso Ndezi, and we will be touching base on this very aspect of relationships. Remember that we've already spoken about relationships and what they are even all about. Professor, thank you so much. Welcome. And I trust you are well. Greetings to you.
I also greet everyone in the glorious and the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. You are right. We are continuing with our discussion about relationships. We have said earlier on that relationships or a relationship is about a manner in which two or three people or objects connect with one another. If we talk about human relationships, we look at what keeps those two people bound, what makes them to stick to one another. It is how they relate with one another. And we also saw that when there was a brokenness, or when the relationship between God and his people in the Garden of Eden was broken, it had to take God himself to restore that relationship. It shows that God values relationship so much that he wouldn't have let that relationship to go to waste the way that the devil had planned. So he had to restore it himself. Hence, we continue with this important discussion about relationships. I have grown to understand that what we experience on a daily basis, whether hatred, love, affectionate, is fueled and centers around how we relate with one another. People hate each other because they haven't found a common ground of understanding and a common platform where one can bear with another. And as a result, we'll find that there's hatred, there's resentment to a point where people could even kill each other. And you can also find people who love each other or one another so much because there are some commonalities and there are some sacrifices that continue to happen in that particular relationship. At the end of the day, it grows stronger and stronger because there is that common ground where two or more people meet with understanding and they can be able to live peacefully and in harmony. Having said this and considering that in the past few weeks, we've looked into the introduction and we introduced a number of relationships. So today, Brother Ray, what I would like us to do is to zoom into one relationship and discuss it extensively. We're not saying that we'll do everything that has to do with that particular relationship, but at least we'll focus on one of these relationships. I would like us to talk about the relationship between a husband and a wife, relationship between spouses that are bound or connected through the holy matrimony. And we're talking about the husband and the wife relationship. I hope by now you know, Brother Ray, that I normally like to take things from the beginning, from where things start.
Yeah.
And most of my teachings will always go back to the book of Genesis and check if there's anything that we can learn from where God started with us, especially because we are the people of the Word. And hence the Word informs us of everything that we need to know. Even when we can want to move away from the Word, it will always bring back that understanding. And it will bring us back to where we're supposed to be. And the Word of God becomes the light and the lamp unto our feet. And hence we always have to find, where are we in scriptures and what is God saying to us about the topic at hand from his word? Hallelujah. We continue to bless him even this time as we talk about relationships. And we have said today we're going to zoom into husband and the wife relationship. I'm not going to go to Adam and Eve, but I just want to go to the relationship that God began to teach us about. I always understand, or I always have this thinking, Brother Ray, that all that we do is because God has taught us how is it done. Even if God would not go and do it all the way through, but we have a demonstration, an illustration of how specific things or how life issues should be dealt with. And hence I want us to go to the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. That's where we're going to start looking into the discussion about a husband and a wife relationship. And I would lead us to open our minds and ask God to give us revelation as we continue with this teaching. We will understand that this passage that talks about Abram being called by God out of his place where he was with his family does not start at or in this passage from Genesis 12. It starts somewhere in Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, where we are told about the genealogy of Abram. But that's not where I would like us to focus at. That is giving us a background where Abram comes from. So when we start in verse 1, or from verse 1 of Genesis 12, we come to a verse that says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram." Every time we start a chapter or a sentence with a conjunction, like in this case, we are seeing "now the Lord," it automatically says this is not where the story starts, because "now" is a conjunction, it is a connecting word, it is a binding word, it brings what is above to what is below. So therefore we go higher in scripture and check what was being said before the word "now." And hence I'm saying this story does not start here, but it starts above. So when we start chapter 12, verse 1 with the "now," it means we need to go back and check where things started. And as I've said earlier on, things are starting with the family of Abram from his father Terah and all the descendants that are spoken of from verse 27 all the way to verse 32, which then connects with verse 1 of chapter 12. But now the focus of the discussion is starting when God is calling out Abram from his family, and the family was staying somewhere in Haran, in the land of the Chaldeans. And God is saying to Abram, get out of your country, get out of your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. This is what God is saying. This is what I regard as a proposal. God is taking a position of a husband, if I may look at it from that direction, because they want us to talk about the relationship between the husband and the wife. And here God is taking this persona of a husband or of a proposer, proposing to someone whom he loves, and he is asking this person to leave the country where he was born. He wants the person to leave the family. He wants him to leave even the father's house. Isn't this what we normally find when men propose to women, or a fiancé proposes to another fiancé whom he wants to make a wife? So the expectation is that the woman would leave the place where she was, leaving the house of the father, and be one with the husband, or be one with the proposer. That was taught by God in this scripture when he goes to Abram and say, "Abram, I want you to get out of your country, and I'm taking you out from your family and from your father's house, and I want to make you mine." So God is becoming this person whom Abram will cling to, and there shall be a marriage between the two. And from this particular marriage, there shall be promises that God would have said to Abram, which will make this marriage or this communion strong. It will be bound on the conditions and the promises that God would say or have said to Abram, which is where we are learning how our relationships should be. In fact, the husband and the wife will begin to know what is expected from each and every one of them. I hope we're still together, Brother Ray, as we are trying to unpack this. Absolutely. I know it will be a very, very long discussion, but I'm trying to move with this in a very slow manner that we may understand now the dimension that this scripture will be used. We are going to use it in a husband and a wife relationship. Remember that relationships don't just fall from trees. Relationships are established. Even if you can say, I fell in love, like some of the people will say, I fell in love. Even if you will fall in love, at some point in time, you will wake up and make a decision. I hope that makes sense. You are not going to fall forever. You will fall in love, but for a lifelong commitment, you'll need to wake up from that falling and make a decision about what you are about to do. And hence here, when God went to Abram asking him out, it's like God is proposing that Abram be hooked to him. And what we see here is that God does not come to Abram with empty words. He comes to him with promises. He says, Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I just want to spend some time on this particular verse, and I want to bring this to the relationship we are talking about. The proposer, God in this case, proposing to Abram, and Abram is listening to these sweet words that God is bringing unto him. And he's not only bringing sweet words that are empty, but these words are full of promises. So God approaches Abraham with a proposal that says, I will make you a great nation. When someone is proposing a marriage to you, now I'm talking to ladies, when a man is coming to you to propose marriage, these are some of the things that you need to take note of. If a person would come to you having no plans of making you great, it means that person is not going to go all the way with you in a manner that will bring you comfort and understanding. Please get that straight, ladies. Please get that straight, gentlemen, at the same time. When you approach a lady, you don't approach him having not a plan. If you don't have a plan for the lady, you are automatically telling me that you don't have a plan for yourself as well. Because when God came to Abram, giving him a plan that he has about Abram, he already had a plan about himself, that this is what I want to achieve in my plan through Abram. As long as Abram would agree to go with me, going from his father's house and from his country to where I'm leading him to, I would like him to do this, but this is what I want to achieve. God already had a plan. So I'm saying this to say, if a guy or a man comes to approach a woman proposing, the first thing is this man must have a plan about his life first. If he does not have a plan about his life, he cannot have a plan about your life, my lady. If he does not know who he is and what he wants to achieve, he cannot know what he would like to achieve for you and through you. Look at this verse again. I will make you a great nation. When you are proposed, my sister, there has to be a plan of increasing you from where you are to a dimension that is greater than the one that you are at. I'll say that again. You cannot allow or agree to move along with someone who does not have a plan to make you better or greater than what you are at the moment. If that would be a case where there is no plan of making you greater, that's when there's so much strife in marriages these days, because the proposer, the man in this case most of the time, does not have a plan and a vision about himself, neither does he have a plan and a vision for the woman that he's about to propose. If you can't make me greater, it's better to leave me where I am, because there's no difference that being in a relationship with you will make in my life. Hence, God is saying, as you come to women, go to them with the plan of increase. Increase then in this case will be in many, many folds and in many directions. Hence, for now, we are not yet zooming into what kind of an increase or greatness are we talking about. But the understanding is you are not expecting to remain in the same position after you have agreed to a proposal. That's the bottom line. Then we move on. God said, I will make you a great nation. It means the plan is to make Abraham greater. The plan of a man when he comes to a woman is to make the woman greater. Going to the second phrase of the same verse, I will bless you. So I will make your soul to be at peace. You will be in a relaxed mode. You will receive the things that you have never even desired or thought of, because of the plan that I have about you and for you. And hence I come to you with this proposal. It's a proposal of blessing. And he says, I will make your name great. If a man does not have a plan to increase you and to make your name great, being in that relationship will end up frustrating you, because the dreams that you had about yourself, my sister, are not going to be realized. Why are they not going to be realized? Because the person does not have a plan of moving you from here to there, especially because there is this notion and understanding that men ahead of the family, and hence most of them, they get to a position of dictating without providing or without making the other party great or increasing them in dimensions that God would want us to be increased. So in other words, if there is no plan of making your name great or of making you a great nation, we've come to a point where relationships and marriages are suffering, because as a woman as well, you also have some plans. And when you start achieving your plans on your own outside of him, that's when people think you are no longer submitting. It comes from a point that the proposer, the man, did not have a plan, never did he think that you'll be greater than you were when he met you. They never think, some of them never think that you will grow and be a bigger person, because they did not make that provision in their minds. They did not expand beyond the point where they found you. When you start expanding, you are looked at as a person who is no longer submissive, whereas it is not the case. The problem was that there was no provision of expanding even in the mind of a man about you as a woman, as you were approached. But God is saying this expansion and growth has to start from the side of a man first, so that it will be easy when a man realizes that my wife is growing, is expanding. He will not get threatened, neither will he feel that his position as a man is now gonna be exchanged. But if you will come to this marriage having not seen that your wife could be greater one day, you will realize and think that you are looked down at and your position is compromised, whereas that not what is happening. So it starts from a proposer, the husband, the man, having a plan first about himself, what kind of a man does he see himself as, and the person whom he wants to be with, what are the plans does he have for her? If that could be in place at the beginning of the relationship, things would be smooth and we wouldn't be seeing all of these divorces happening left and right. They happen because of the friction that happens. Let me make a practical example, Brother Ray. If you have two objects, one of them is elastic and other is not. In this case, the one that is not elastic is the one that initiated the proposal or the relationship. And the one that agrees to this is elastic or is expanding, has the capability of growing and expanding. So when this one begins to expand and grows in the presence or in the surroundings that don't allow it because this other one is not elastic enough, there is a high tendency of breakage and explosion. And hence we find that there is no more peace in most of the marriages because these people did not grow at the same time. They are not growing in the same dimension, same understanding. And even when the other one is growing with, while the other one is not necessarily growing, this one did not make a space of such growth to take place. And hence, strife happens. Husband and a wife need to get into the relationship with understanding. And when we fall in love, wake up and decide properly. You cannot just say, I fell in love or first sight, whatever. I don't know what words you normally use, Brother Ray, but I hear a lot of these that I saw her or I saw him once and then I fell in love with the person. Yes, it's fine. You could say that, but relationships must be established. Forget about emotions that took you there and begin to work at the facts that will keep you there. I hope we are getting that right. The emotions maybe could be there because you were like, this is the man, this is the woman, and you're looking at the person, even if you have not seen the person before, but you had a plan that one day you'll see this person. Now she's here. You need to wake up at some point in time and begin to work at this relationship because healthy relationships are worked at, you establish, it is founded. And we see God here doing exactly that. He decides to go to Abraham and he speaks to Abraham about his plan for him and for the generations to come. When a man proposes to you, my sister, he must not only have his plans. Number two, he must not only have the plans about you, he must also have plans about the children that will be born from that union. Because if he does not have those plans, you will end up being a breadwinner, let me say. You'll be a single parent in a marriage because he never thought that you will one day be productive and give birth to children whom he should have had plans for or plans about when he came to see you or to talk to you. I'm not saying at the end of this, we are saying women should not participate and contribute into the warmth of this household, should not contribute into the upbringing of this family. But for smooth livelihood of this family, the one who initiates the union must have a full plan of how this will happen. By the time God says, I will make him a helper, the helper will be able to cleave in perfectly because there is already a plan that the initiator came with. In the absence of this plan is a problem and a challenge that we'll always experience in marriages between the husband and the wife because the one of them just fell in love without having a plan of how will he make this work when life continues. This is where we are in this discussion, Brother Ray. We just started with Genesis chapter 12. We are in verse 1 and 2. I haven't even gone to verse 3. Verse 3 is coming with another dimension that I would like us to look at after the break. God is really at work and we give him praises, the honor and the glory. And I believe that a lot of relationships will be built. God will begin to restore those who have not yet gotten involved in any relationship that is leading to covenantal relationships like marriage. They will have a better plan when they start to establish these relationships. We give him praise. Hallelujah.
Tapelo ya mosiami e nonofile go dira tse dikgolo fa e le ya tloafalo. Ka kopo tswella go rapella Radio Pulpit le tiro e re e dirang mo lefaseng la Aforika Borwa le kontle ga naga.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. True, authentic Christian radio.
Welcome back, 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit. We trust you're well and fine, and the Father is doing you great. Still talking to Professor Buyiso Nzi. Now, on this last segment, Professor, you know, it is important to speak about the essence of relationships, you know. And, of course, that everything that we see being done, it's done because there is some form of relationship. You know, one has to agree with himself, you know. One has to agree with others to bring something about. And relationships matter to us, something to take into consideration. What say you, finally, when it comes to this? Professor?
Faithful is the name of the Lord. We continue to bless the Lord and we glorify him for the opportunity and the time that we have to learn more about his word and life issues from the word of God as we continue with relationships. And today we are talking about husband and a wife relationship. We are looking into where things started, where God, the proposer, the initiator of the relationship between himself and Abraham, is looked at as a picture that we can all learn from. And we have said that you can't just go to a lady without a plan. If that would happen later on, in the long run, there shall be a strife and a problem and cracking and divorce and all of that would happen. Yes, that's where we are. So I'd like us to go to verse 3, Genesis 12, verse 3, where now God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God is saying to Abram, because this is still a proposal, Bazalani, we must not forget that it's still a proposal. I know that some of us might use these as like the words of deception, and then when they have to practicalize these, they no longer put this into action. But God spoke this from the heart because he had to plan first and then he could come and speak to Abram. So one of the phrases he continues to speak is, I will bless those who bless you. He is now going to be the protector. He is going to cover up. He is going to be the shield. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. So he's taking ownership of the wife, let me say, the wife that he is proposing to come with him. So he says, if you come with me, I will be your protector. I will bless, I will cover up, I will make sure that you are safe in this union that I'm bringing you to. And he says, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So in other words, if the families of the earth shall be blessed through Abram, there shall be multiplication. There shall be expansion. All of that must be planned by the initiator. Remember this, I'll come to a point of practicalizing what I'm talking about. For now, we're talking about this from the perspective of what God is saying. And if we can get this model and take it to our household and to our lives, we will realize that our lives are getting more and more smoother and there will be less strife in our relationships. If men could take this position, be the protectors, be the providers, as God says, be the ones who will be a shield of the wife, the shield of everything that will be born from this union. And God is saying, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Mm. So there is a realization that in Abraham are seeds, in Abraham are generations, but these generations will be made to come to life through the interaction between God and Abraham. So if we bring this to men and a woman, husband and a wife, there's already a predetermined understanding that the union between the wife and the husband will bring multiplication, will bring generations that were hidden in Abraham. In this case, gonna be the wife. Hence, it says, in you all families shall be blessed. So from you things will be derived. So you are the carrier of the unseen and the unknown, but it doesn't mean that it does not exist. It shall be made to manifest through this union that shall be established between the husband and the wife. And here God is telling us, this is the picture. This is the acceptable picture of building and establishing husband and a wife relationship. So if we can have this before everything could take shape, we will have healthy homes, healthy communities, healthy churches, and healthy countries, because everybody will be coming from these healthy union, healthy relationships. Let me come back to talk to brothers and sisters out there. My brother, don't go to my sister if you don't know who you are. My brother, don't go to my sister if you don't have a plan about yourself. If you don't have a plan for my sister, don't even start going to them. You can't just go and tell ladies that you love them without a plan. It is not about loving them. It is about what you will do afterwards. Because a marriage does not only stand on love, but it will stand on a whole lot of things, which includes your plan, promises for my sister, and also for the offsprings. When God spoke to Abraham, the promise did not end with Abraham, but the promises went from Abraham to the children of Abraham, even to the grandchildren of Abraham. If you cannot plan beyond the lady you are looking at, you are calling or you are planning for a disaster in your home and in your marriage. So we are no longer going to do things like the unwise, but we are going to approach life from a knowledgeable point of view, from the wise point of view. We are now wise, we understand, and we know the word of God. We're not going to fall into things and we wake up not knowing what has happened. But we now know what to do and act accordingly, according to what God is teaching us, so that we are going to give generations who will acknowledge God for who he is, not generations who will curse God because parents were not there to make sure that these children grow up in an environment that is healthy, conducive, and godly. We don't want to be people who will expand and increase a generation that does not know God, or the generation that will hate God and hate the day children were born simply because some parents did not plan. It would be understandable if these children are born from a union that did not know God, or from people who are not in the Lord. You understand? But we cannot have Christian families who are still living ignorantly and approaching life ignorantly. Let's teach our young ones, the youth who are still thinking of getting into marriages. Don't just get into marriages not knowing what you are doing. Right now we have a lot of understanding from the knowledge that has increased. But look at the right knowledge and relevant knowledge that is applicable to what you want to do. Don't just take everything and anything, even if it is not directly linked to who you are and to what you will do, Brother Ray. That's what is happening, that while knowledge increases, they use it anyhow, and we are unable to sieve the right knowledge from the wrong knowledge. We end up taking everything that the media is telling us, everything that everybody does, and we don't even know the right principles and values that we must have for us to live a godly life. We live life as though it belongs to us. This life is a gift that God has given unto us. Therefore, we need to live it accordingly and take care of the gift, because the gift is not yours. It belongs to the owner. Therefore, we need to treat it and handle it with care. We are going to learn from what God is teaching us. Don't establish a relationship if you don't know what are you going to do. And what I normally say when I talk about this, brothers must not approach and propose ladies if they don't have a plan to keep those ladies in the holy union of God. It is not about playing. It is not about being known that you have a girlfriend or you are dating and all of that. It needs to be understood that a husband and a wife relationship is a covenantal relationship that involves and includes oaths. And once you touch vows, oaths, and covenants, we must know that we are no longer tapping into the zone that only involves humans, but we are inviting the divine and involvement and the divine encounters. We are inviting God himself to be part of that union. We cannot therefore treat marriages as though marriages belong to people only. These are institutions, or marriage is an institution that is established by God himself. So therefore, emotions must not have the last word in as far as marriages are concerned. I know some of us would be confused by this statement. I'll repeat that so that you may understand what I'm trying to say here. Emotions must not have the last word in as far as the establishment of marriages are concerned. It is not about how you feel, because feelings will subside at some point in time. Now, after the feelings are gone, you need to be left with promises and decisions that you made in a sober manner, not with emotions. Relationships are not built and made, or are not founded only on emotions, but they are founded on proper decisions, on proper promises, on vows, on covenants that are made as they are established. Feelings will go one day, and beauty sometimes will go, because people get old, people get sick, people change. And when these things come into a picture and you use them as the measuring tool of your love or of your union, once these things creep in, because life happens, we'll find that some relationships begin to deteriorate and break, because people never understood the foundations of healthy and proper relationships. And this particular one we are dealing with today is very, very important. Husband and wife relationship. It is a relationship that I would regard as the institution from which other relationships can be born. I'm not saying it's the only. We can look at this from many dimensions, but if we consider that out of marriages, husband and wife union, there comes children, and these children must be grown and nurtured in a healthy environment, so that even when they establish relationships outside, they have a model from where they come. They can then relate with friends, when we come to a friend-to-friend relationship, they will bring their personalities that are healthy from a dimension or from the source where there was healthy, understanding relationship that is built and founded in God, and they have roots that are godly. So hence I'm saying, this institution has power to give birth to any other relationship, as I have given an example, that friend-to-friend relationship can also be traced back to a husband and a wife relationship, because these children who are becoming friends today, they've been raised by families, and we regard the family structure that God is aware of, or not aware of, that God would approve a husband and a wife relationship. Yes, we know that we live in a society where there are so many children that not necessarily come out of stable homes. Some have single parents, others don't know other parents, but those are dimensions that we see happening. But there is this one that God would recommend for every child to be raised under, although not all of us or not every child has had a privilege of having a mother and a father under the same roof or through a husband and a wife relationship. So that's that, Bazala, that we're talking about. I know there's still a lot that I will talk about, but this is an introduction of a husband and a wife relationship and what it can give birth to. But what I wanted to emphasize the most in this first segment of a husband and a wife relationship is that ladies, women must not fall into relationships. They must establish relationships. Men should not propose relationships if they do not have plans for themselves, plans for the women they are proposing. And the plans must go beyond the person they are looking at, because through the people or the person they are looking at, nations and generations shall be born. Have a plan for her and the plan of the fruit of her womb, because this is what is going to happen once these unions are established. This is what we are at this point in time. Our God continues to reign in every situation. This was just Genesis chapter 12. I also would like to go to Genesis 15 as I close this short segment again. Genesis 15 verse 1. I know we can still talk about other segments. Okay, before I come to Genesis 15, Brother Ray, let me quickly go to Genesis, the other verses of Genesis 12, moving on to verse 7 and 8. Now, Abraham has said yes to the proposal. Let me finish that with this segment with that. Abraham said yes to the proposal. Now I'm going with you. And he is taken to the promised land because he has said yes to the proposal. Now, as he goes to verse 6, as Abraham passed through the land to a place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and Canaanites were there in the land. So he's going with the one whom he now loves. And where he gets, we are told that Abraham built an altar unto the Lord. And after building an altar, in fact, this was so interesting as I was reading, Brother Ray. After building an altar, he called the name of the Lord. Remember, at the beginning, God came to speak to him, initiated the relationship, and then he said yes, and then they got out, and then they left. And then now there comes, they are coming to a certain place. He gets there, he builds an altar. Now it is now Abraham who initiates a conversation. He gets to a place, he builds an altar, and then he calls on the name of the one whom he loves. He calls on the name of the Lord. I know I have heard a number of men complaining about this, my sisters, that women do not want to initiate some conversation. They don't want to initiate some activities in marriages. But here, we are seeing Abraham being the one who says, okay, I have gone with God. I have gone with the person who called me out. When I get to a certain place, I must continue talking to him. Let me initiate a conversation. Let us talk. Let us communicate. Let us commune. Let's have the us time. So he initiated that part. And women fail to initiate some of activities that must keep the union stronger. And that is encouraged. Initiate talks that will keep the relationship burning and healthy. Initiate activities that will keep your relationship having that spark that is needed. Remember, there is no relationship that will survive in the absence of communication and interaction. So to keep it working, initiate conversations, initiate activities that you know will keep this relationship alive. And Abraham, as a personification of a woman in this case, initiated that conversation with God. Yes, God has taken him out. Yes, they've agreed. Now they're walking together, because the two cannot walk together unless they agree. They agreed now. Now when they go to a certain place, it is now Abraham who continues. They are now almost equal partners, although they understand each and every one of them has his role, his or her own role. They know we communicated this level. I know this is my part, this is my role. And we can learn who we are in this union, and we can learn our part, so that when we play our part perfectly, it keeps things moving smoothly and it keeps things bound the way they should. Communication is very, very important in keeping the relationship healthy. Yes, this is where we are, Brother Ray, as we talk about husband and a wife relationship. Yeah. It seems like there is a long way to go even in this. We were just looking into Abraham, and we looked into two scriptures. I'm still going to go to Genesis 15 and Genesis 17 as we learn some parts about relationships, husband and a wife relationships, a relationship. We bless the living Father. He is a glorious Messiah.
Thank you so much, Professor. I really appreciate. Of course, thank you for listening. We give the Father the glory, the majesty, and the honor. There's none like him. And of course, until we talk again the coming week, much blessings to you.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.